When Matthew and Luke write the birth narratives that we celebrate at Christmas, they're looking at it through the lens of his death. You know, they're writing in the 70s AD, and they're looking back through the death and resurrection to the birth. And so they leave us hints of his death even in the birth stories. So for example, when Matthew tells the story of the Magi coming, one of the three gifts is myrrh, which is an ointment for dead bodies. So Matthew is giving us a kind of a premonition, a harbinger of the death that's going to come to this innocent little child eventually. And when Luke tells the story in his way, he has Jesus presented in the temple, and his parents are missing him for 3 days. Three, wink, wink, okay. The disciples are looking for Jesus for 3 days, but he's in the tomb, and then at the resurrection, they find him again. There's this losing and finding. But there's more than that. There's this notion that somehow birth is about death, not just about Jesus, and not just about Samuel, but all of us. Birth is surrounded by danger, you know. Throughout the ages, many women have died in childbirth, and many children die at birth. It's a dangerous time. And baptism symbolizes that in a radical way, because we're talking about the dangerous waters of baptism. You know, going down into the font, into death, dying to the old life so that we can rise to something new. All love is paschal. It's always about dying. So this amazing story about Hannah, who has been barren all her life and now she's in advanced years, she prays for a child and the child is given to her. She conceives and bears Samuel. And then after he's weaned, she takes him to the temple and gives him back to God forever. It's just almost unfathomable. What mother can do that, you know? Child's probably about 2 years old. But the story is really not just about the courage and the faith of Hannah. It's about Samuel being dedicated to the Lord. It's about parenting and losing. Because every child that's born to you, you're going to lose. They're going to grow up. They're going to go their own way. And there's a dying involved in that. And married love is paschal, because you're dying to self and discovering yourself in another. And that's one of the most thrilling, beautiful loves in the world. And yet you have to be willing to let go in order to experience that. You have to be willing to die to yourself. And in having children, you're dying to each other so that birth can happen. So Jesus comes at the age of 12 to the temple. Why? Because he is the temple. Remember, he said to his disciples at one point, "Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days." And they say, "Well, it took 46 years to build this building. How can you restore it in 3 days? And they realize later he wasn't talking about the building. He was talking about his body. It's going to lie in the tomb for 3 days, and then I'm going to rise from death. And as he's walking down the road to Emmaus on Easter afternoon with those two disciples, and he explains all the scriptures to them and shows how everything in the scriptures referred to him, and he says, "Do you not understand that the Son of Man had to die and rise from the dead?" This is the plan of God. It's been the plan of God for all the ages. All of creation reflects the dying and rising pattern in the Trinity. And so planets are born and die. Galaxies are born and die. This is the pattern of all existence. Humans are born and they die. We give and we lose. We receive and we give back. The pattern of our liturgy is all about the acceptance of the gift of God. St. John, in that second reading this morning, says, the amazing gift of God, of love, that has made us God's children. And yet that's what we are. What we shall later be has not yet been revealed, but we know that even now we are children of God. God was willing to die to his priority so that we could have life. God was willing to die on the cross to give his life for our salvation so that we could live eternally. The eternal love of God was passed over, passed on, paschally, to the creation and to us humans so that all could live with God forever. We learn this pattern in family. This is one of the most dangerous places. It's the most beautiful kind of love, and it's the most paschal kind of love at the same time. That giving and receiving in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, it's not always a beautiful thing. Sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it hurts terribly. And yet we immerse ourselves in that mystery of love, and we trust it. And the words of Mary in the gospel this morning, I think, are the final words for us this morning. She held all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, life is a mystery. God is mystery. And the frustrating thing for us humans who like to put things in neat boxes and arrange things so that we can fully understand them, we just find that frustrating, that every time we turn around, there's a new mystery. That every time we turn around, there's something that doesn't make sense. And yet somehow in the plan of God, it all makes a mysterious sense that it takes a lifetime of pondering to come to grips with. And so we're like Mary. We don't understand it. We don't get a lot of it. And yet somehow we ponder it in our hearts and we hang on to it. Because it's the mystery of life. It's the mystery of divine love.